Oh yeah, we're about to get nerdy with behind the scenes tech talk as it pertains to social media, video platforms, podcasting, websites, and more. So take off those pocket protectors. You won't need them here. Pour yourself a tall glass of Code Red Mountain Dew, get comfortable, and prepare to talk nerdy. After Hours starts right now.
What is up, crew? Time to talk nerdy. Do a little bit of technical talk and all that good stuff. Hopefully everybody has had a wonderful week so far. Having a good Thursday. June 25th is the date. So let me take care of a little bit of house cleaning here. I need to turn off a couple of things here because I'm hearing myself talk and the intros in the background. And plus, I've got to fire up, as you guys are well aware, the Discord server, because I don't like the noise that it makes whenever somebody chats over there in the Discord server. But I do want to invite folks to that Discord server. I know that we have, I think Nighthawk Medic is hanging out over there right now. And so I'll drop that here shortly into the YouTube chat. But I want to give a couple of minutes because notifications have to go out, of course, and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know if anybody had heard that, but there was the Discord server. So you don't have to use the Discord server, just so that you're aware. But if you're over there, there's different channels in that server, and we're in the Talk Nerdy channel. So with that said, I'll go ahead. It's been a couple of minutes now, and I'll go ahead and throw that out in the side chat here for YouTube. And if you've used Discord, then you can come over there and hang out. And it's just an alternative. That's all. Not a big deal. If you don't want to use it, then the YouTube chat works fine. And I want to invite you to the new channel as well. If you haven't come over to FUD Life, then come over and check that out. The rain has held me back. And that's going to be one thing probably that comes up with the whole struggle that we're going to talk about tonight. But that's held me back. I started that channel. I got quite a few podcasts, a few up. And I got a couple of produced pieces of content up as well. The cool thing about that FUD Life channel is it's really focused on short form content. And I want to create an environment to where the produced videos are less than 5 minutes, podcasts are left less than 15. You can get over there, you know, consume that information if you're interested in that, and then get on with your day, because everybody's time is valuable. So that's kind of the purpose over there, is just for those quick, almost soundbite like pieces of content. So with that said, I'm gonna run through the panel here and welcome everybody shortly. But tonight we're gonna be talking about, you know, as creators, what do we struggle with? And I think this is a good one. We've talked about a lot of great things over the last few weeks, but you know, some of us have been there and done that when it comes to certain issues that somebody else might face. And so when you hear somebody talk about some of the struggles that they've had and ways that they've maybe overcome those, then that can help us all grow a little bit, not just grow our channels numerically with subs and views and that kind of stuff, but grow as a creator as well. And then for those that are struggling, heck, there may be somebody out there in the chat. There may be somebody in replay or whatever that's listening that has had that same problem and can, you know, lend a hand up, so to speak, to those people that are struggling with certain things. So I want to encourage participation in the side chat over on YouTube tonight. If you are a creator, you're out there, even I guess if you're thinking about starting up a channel and doing things, that's kind of what we talked about last week. And if you're thinking about that and you're struggling with a certain aspect of it, then put it out there. Let us know. We'll try to run that through the panel and give you some tips, tricks, ideas on ways that you might can handle that. As we're talking about our own struggles, go ahead and leave those comments as well. And remember, this will get put up as replay over on Full 30, as well as going into replay on YouTube and across the podcast world. And wherever you're out there and listening, there's going to be comments down below. So hit those comments up and participate down there. So with that said, let's run this one through the panel. We don't have quite a full house, but you never know when a latecomer may jump in, and we've got one spot left. So if you're out there and you did get the invite, there's one spot left. Jump on in. Rogue Banshee, we'll start out with him, who has become quite the staple here on a Thursday evening. What's up, bro?
Hey, Clover. How you doing?
I'm well.
Good. It's going to be a great chat tonight. I mean, these are all things that I wish I knew back when I first started my channel a few years ago. So I think this is going to be a fun one.
Yeah, it's all about helping. We've got Ghost in the house. What's happening, bro?
You know, I'm a little discouraged and a little kind of out of it lately. You know, Walmart has been out of crayons for like the last 3 weeks. So I'm struggling keeping my energy up and all that. But thanks for having me.
You bet. So the Dollar Tree has the off brands, or they just not as good.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I said the Dollar Tree has the off brand. Are they just not as good?
I mean, it's kind of like it's kind of like new Coke versus old Coke. You know,
you
drink it because you have to sometimes when it was there, but you'd really rather have the classic.
I got you. I understand. Joe's with us from Shooting Gallery New England. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Clover, what's going on, man? Thanks for having me.
You bet. Oh, we got a newbie in this week. We got Mr. Steven Sheets. What's happening, bro?
How you doing, Clover Tag?
Doing good, man. Thanks for jumping in.
It was my pleasure.
So let's kick this party off. Let's start talking about some stuff. And actually, G23 out there, right off the bat, has got one out there. He says, I struggle with editing and figuring out how to do cards and stuff. So he calls Ghost Tactical. That's what he said. And so, yeah, I think anybody that you've seen on these panels are more than willing, if you reach out to them, to help to what extent they can help. It's definitely willing to help you out. But that's a good thing. I wouldn't say I struggle with editing, but I don't like editing. Put it that way. Editing is one of those things that, I don't know. I've never been a fan of video editing, the production part of it, of getting out the filming, the ideas in my head of how I want it to work. All that's fine. When I sit down in front of the computer and start trying to put the pieces of video together and put the transitions in. And I just hate that. It's time consuming to me. And I don't like it. A lot of monotony too. But on the topic of editing, with those that may struggle with editing, let's run that through the room. Because, you know, like I said, I don't struggle with it, but I don't like doing it. Rogue, what about you in editing? Are there any tips or tricks or software or whatever you might can recommend that would help people be able to edit a little better?
You know, I when I first started, I hated editing. It took me forever. I just didn't understand it. And it just took time. After, you know, I think I'm around 80 videos now, I can edit really fast. It's, you know, I can put things in and pull things out. It takes time to get used to editing. I spend absolutely $0 on my editing software. I run on a Mac, so I have iMovie, and I do everything out of iMovie. So it just, each editor has, I tried using other editors and I keep going back to iMovie just because I'm efficient at it. But it takes time. It takes time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nice Strike has joined us. What's up, Nice Strike?
How's it going, Clover?
Hey, we're doing good. So G23 out there said he's struggling with editing. So any advice, any tips you can give that might help him out in the realm of editing video?
Oh, you know me, I'm Mr. No Edits, mostly. I usually do a lot of raw content, you know, but for some of that content, I do actually have to edit just a little bit, you know, for like the intro and the outro and that kind of thing. So, mm-hmm. I would say look for good software. And if you don't absolutely know how to use the software you have, you know, look online. There's plenty of tutorials online of how to do this and how to do that with which software. And believe me, there's a lot of information out there to help you. There really is. All you got to do is make the effort to type in Google, how do I do this with this?
That's right. Now, Nighthawk Medic over on the Discord server over there, he says he tends to food process his videos and he feels he should be more creative with them. They're vanilla by choice. I wonder if I should put more humor outtakes in the videos. So we can maybe even touch on that a little bit as we're talking about elements of editing, I guess, and whatnot here. Joe, any advice for G23 on editing?
Depending on the software you're using, it, you know, obviously I'm still going through the same thing. I use DaVinci Resolve and it's a free software you can download off the internet. I still don't really know how to use it. So, YouTube and how to like transitions are like a new thing with me. I figured out how to hit the Control T for a transition between cutscenes, so it's not so like deliberate. So I'm having a ball with that, but you know, YouTube is pretty much why we're here, and you're able to find so much different tutorials on there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Steven, what about you with editing video? Any tips or advice for G23?
Well, I use Windows Movie Maker by adding some favorite movies, and I usually work on some type of Western movies I like. You know, like I did with Mike Malamute, Dustin Weiniger, Richard Bartoszky, and me with the Gunfight the OK Corral at Tombstone.
Right. Yeah, I remember that. Ghost, bring you in here.
I mean, I'm probably one of the few people that actually enjoy editing. So I use PowerDirector 18, I think was the version I'm using. I've tried other things. I keep going back, like Banshee. I kind of go back to my original, which is PowerDirector. I've been using it for a long time, well before YouTube days. I was using it since like 2007, so I enjoy it. I enjoy the editing process because it's the only way I can really kind of be creative. And I know it drives you nuts when I say that, but I actually do enjoy the editing process because you can really dive into software and really kind of make your stuff look really good, or, you know, different ways that you can just be creative and artistic. So that's, I would say, is if just dive into it. And the good thing is you can't mess it up, because if you put something wrong in there, you can always undo it. So try out as many things as you can and you never know what's going to stick.
Yep. And for me, I mean, I used to use PowerDirector, and then I got the new laptop set up and the hardware I had wouldn't work with PowerDirector, wouldn't work correctly anyway. So I had to find a new software and ended up, I've been using it for a while now, for several months. And you'll notice some things. I put the link out for the FUD Life channel out there a second ago. You'll notice a couple different things in the FUD Life channel that you don't see on the CloverTech channel, because why? I've learned new things, and I thought, well, I go ahead and incorporate that from the start, you know, over on that channel. But to a couple of points that I want to make here. First of all, something that Steven brought up, and that's an element of editing that you've got to be careful using clips from movies and other things. But I've had really good success. A lot of those videos that I put out, you know, the one with, I think it was the Thunderstruck Revolver using the snake thing. I spliced some, you know, clips from Indiana Jones and in the pit with the snakes and some different things like that in. You got to be real careful. You only want like a couple of seconds of it. And for the most part, you'll be okay. So just caveat that by saying be really careful when you're using copyrighted content like that. Another thing with editing that, it's a method that I use that really, it helps with my editing, but I do it in production. And that goes with part of what G23 out there was saying. He was talking about the end screens and the cards and things. And one thing I'll do is I've got in my head the idea that, okay, I need to put end screens in this video. Well, when I do, I know that they're going to be here, or they're going to be here most likely. So toward the last, you know, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, or whatever that video is going to be, I need to be in one side of the frame or the other to give room for those cards. And then I'm still standing there. And that makes it easier on me because then I don't got to use, I know Ghost, I know some other people, they go to a completely separate end screen in some videos that allows that space. They'll shrink down the video or whatever it might be. That's just more work in editing for me, and I don't want to do that. So I alleviate that, like I said, by where I'm at, my on-screen presence or whatever when I'm actually filming. And then another thing that helps is in production, the flow of the video is not necessarily the way that I film it. In Hollywood's that way. You know, they film all different places all over the place, and then it goes into editing, and they're just jamming it all together, right? Everything they need to film in one location, even if that location is shown 15 times throughout the movie at various time intervals, they film all that at once. And so I try to do that as well. If there's something like, okay, I need to be standing here or handling this or shooting this, I try to film that all at once, you know, and have an idea of the flow of the video and how it's going to be while I'm in production. And then when I import that into my software, then all of those clips, all I got to do is pull that in, and then it'll have different places. And then I just insert the other clips down into that one timeline. And that's the way my software works. Everybody else may work a little different. Now, one thing, the Discord out there is jumping. So I'm going to grab the Discord thing because I need to throw that link back out. But I know that Nighthawk Medic out there, one thing that he was talking about, when he was talking about it being vanilla over there, he said he tends to have the same deliberate process and use that over and over. And a lot of creators do this. I'm guilty of this. The way my end screens show up, the way the transition that I use, right? All of that stuff is kind of the same from video to video to video. So is it better to switch all of that stuff up once you kind of find a rhythm? Or is it best once you do get a certain flow down with your transitions and all of that, stay in with that formula, maybe until it doesn't work anymore? Ghost, what do you think about that?
As far as transitions or just in general, the whole flow of video?
Well, mainly like transitions. I mean, I'm thinking about some big YouTubers out there that they use the same transition. It's kind of the same flow. Every single time when you go to that channel and you watch that video, it's going to be the same exact flow. You know what to expect. You know how that video is going to unfold.
Yeah. When it comes to transitions, if it's something that the way I use transitions is I try not to do a big like flip page or rotate or any of those big ones, unless it's, I use those when I move on to a different thought or part of the video. So that kind of lets them know that when they see a big transition, I'm getting ready to change gears in the video. If it's within the same thought process, either I'll do a fade or I won't use a transition at all. I'll just use like a jump transition. It automatically just jumps, and you try not to make it choppy. But if you can do it without being choppy, sometimes those are good. But I'll only use big transitions when I'm like transitioning literally between thoughts or parts of the video. So people kind of know when they see that big transition, I'm literally transitioning to another thought process.
Right. Budget out there, he's saying he likes a simple crossfade, and I kind of fall in that category too. I really like a really quick crossfade because it gives that that hard cut feel, but it's visually there isn't a hard cut there. Rogue, I'll jump over to you as far as your transitioning that you use. Do you kind of follow a pattern or do you mix it up?
No, I follow a pattern. I kind of settle in like budget. I like a crossfade in between my clips. And I just like how it gives me a nice smooth transition. I don't like hard cuts. And I don't like doing anything really funky with the video.
Nighthawk Medic out there over on the Discord side, he says he has to start smiling on transition. Says he tends to be standing there with a dumb look on his face when a new transition happens. What I try to do is I try to tailor, and I really don't script. Sometimes I'll go off bullet points, but what I'll do is I try to have some type of a different positioning, right? I'll take a half a step to the left or half a step to the right, or I'll put my hands in a different position, something in between the sentences, right? When I take that pause that I know there's going to be a transition, because again, I'm thinking about this in production. I'm thinking, okay, this will be a transition point. So I take that pause, and when I do, I'll move. And then I'll start the next section. That way, when I've got that fade, there's movement occurring, if that makes sense, during that fade. Because if you don't, and you're just standing in the same place and you do a transition, to me, that looks weird. It may not to other people. To me, it just looks weird. It looks unnatural. Nice try. As far as, do you follow kind of a recipe on your transition? I guess editing in general, or do you mix it up?
Well, normally when I'm adding clips, you know, like when you're adding in your intro video, if you have a separate intro video and a separate outro video, normally I set the clips to at the end of the beginning, you know, a fade out effect. And then the beginning of the main actual video, you know, a fade in effect. I recommend using fade if you're splicing clips together. That way it looks more uniform.
Mm-hmm. All right. Joe, what about you?
So I have a little bit of a learning curve to this. So I'm just kind of seeing what works for me right now. I was originally, for the first time doing my channel, I was just doing hard cuts where there wouldn't be between scenes and stuff like that while I'm editing. It would just be go straight to, say, I'm shooting something to me back at a tabletop, and it'd be real quick. But now I'm kind of learning how to use separate editing techniques. So it's kind of being a learning curve, but it kind of depends on what works for you. Like, I just figured out how to get a little bit of a scene from an actual movie into one of my videos. And it's only like a 3-second clip, but just learning that, for me, I don't know how it is for everybody else, but for me, it takes about like 2 hours just for me to figure out how to get that one clip.
Right, right. Now, Budget out there says he also uses a second camera angle, or he'll crop and zoom to break it up a little bit. I guess he's kind of talking about me when I move within the frame or something. And I've done that too. If you watch the New FUD Live channel, you'll notice that I'm in the same spot, but I'll crop it. And so when it transitions, when it does that transition, it looks different. It's a different scene. So that's valid as well. Steven, with Movie Maker, you said you use, do you use transitions when you do your videos?
Well, not exactly, but I use it in any type of other favorite movies I like. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Patriot in the Dark out there, he says, wait, what? What are transitions? Because obviously he can't see them. So the pauses whenever we, Patriot, just so you know, whenever you're watching a video and somebody pauses for like a second, there's probably a transition there. So just visualize, I guess you can visualize that in your head. John Z says he thinks it's okay to mix it up, but limit it to 2 or 3 transitions, but that depends on the length of the video, of course, while keeping it simple. Yeah, I think the people that go overboard with a different transition every single cut, that's kind of weird. I think maybe what Ghost, and I'm going to go up to Ghost because he had a thought to add, but I think what Ghost was saying about using a bigger transition for sections and then a more fluid transition maybe for portions within those sections, is okay. But like John Z says, that would just be 2 transitions, and I think that would be okay too. But I'll give you the floor, Ghost. You said you wanted to add something.
Yeah, someone was talking about the transition time and all that, and that's something I always want to think about also. If you have the availability to edit the length of your transition time, you know, typically I would say maybe half to a second, at most a second, but no matter what your transition period time frame is, the length of that transition is going to take, factor that into your editing, because the last thing you want to be doing is talking about something and showing something and it's being covered up by a transition. So if you're going to do a 1/2-second transition between sentences, give yourself a 1/2-second in there before you start talking again, so that transition is completed before you start on again.
Yeah, definitely. Patriot in the Dark says, you mean you guys don't do your whole video in one take? Jeez, what a bunch of rookies. That's another way to do it, to be quite honest. If you, you know, if, especially if you're just standing in front of a camera and you're talking, if you've got to show different things and then shoot out on the range and do all these other things, then, I mean, obviously you can't stand there and then go over and shoot. That'd be kind of hard to do. I guess you could walk up to the camera, put the camera in one spot. You could make it work. But, you know, yeah, I mean, the more you can get without having the transitions. Here's the thing with transitions. And Patriot in the Dark is a, he's an outside the box example. So he's an exclusion, I should say. But for most people, their attention span is short, and transitions help to keep things moving. You're just standing there talking, but in between a pause, there's a transition. And if you can visually see that transition, there's something happening on the screen other than you just talking. And so that can actually keep people tuned in and paying attention. Now, Carolina EDC out there, he says he likes them all. Sometimes changes make it a little different for older viewers. Doing the same thing could end up being boring. So, yeah, I mean, I could see that too. And for certain types of videos or whatever it might be. Now, John Z says, ever thought about doing transition to show some of your links? And I have no idea. Anybody is free to jump in with what he might be talking about. Because how do you do a transition? I guess a slow transition, fade to black, show a link, and then move on?
Like subliminal messages within the transitions?
Like that's a quarter one way second, to do it. Like a quarter second link on the screen.
Yeah,
maybe, possibly. I don't know. May have to start trying to do that. So let's jump in and talk about. I talked a little bit, of course, at the very first of this with when we first started talking about editing. How, you know, I don't really struggle with that, but I don't like it. I certainly have plenty of other things that I do struggle with, though. Let's start talking about some of our own struggles. And if you're out there, you're in the chat, or like I said, if you're over on the Discord, if you're in replay, whatever, comments below, there's always a place that we can talk. But let's talk a little bit about, you know, things that we struggle with and see if we can't help each other, or somebody out there in the chat may have the answer to it as well. Nice strike with you. And as far as creating content, what is one of the things, probably like all of us, you struggle with a lot of different things, but pick one and let's see if we can't solve it.
All right.
You're perfect. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. No, I'm not perfect at all. I am the least perfect person in the world. I'll admit that first. But as far as editing, you know, I'm struggling with something right now, as I'd like to be able to redo one of my outros when I do produce content and do, you know, a scrolling list for all my patrons, you know.
Okay.
Add them in like the outro so that they're also part of the videos I do. Do you have any recommendations on that? Is there like an app I can use to do that, or should I just try and, you know, power on and do it in CyberLink? And then just, you know, export it.
Well, you're using, what did you say you use primarily?
Primarily I use CyberLink, PowerDirector 13.
Okay.
Cause I got that okay. Free.
So are you familiar with the, and you do have to go register there or whatever, but are you familiar with the PowerDirector forum or the plugin or whatever that they
director formed. Zone. Yeah.
Director Zone. There you go.
I director am, Zone. Yes.
Okay. They have some scrolling credit plugins in there, and that's where I got the one that I use. I know, or I did use, back when I used PowerDirector. Ghost, is that where you, how you do your credits or scrolling stuff as well? Or
yeah, there's and there might be one that you don't even have to download. If you go into the title section, and you bring a new title down, and then you part of the option of the title is the motion, and one of the options in the motion tab will be scroll up or scroll down, and then you can just type in the text on that. You know, there's different ways you can do it, but they are available there for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I know in mine, the software I'm using now is MOVAVI, and it's the same way that you can go into motion, and basically you type your text and then you just set the motion to it. So I've never used that on Power Director. I've always used the plugin. Rogue, I know. Ooh, pardon me. I know that you're using iMovie. You said, right? So a little bit different with that. But have you done any scrolling credit type stuff? You got anything to add?
I actually started doing my end scenes at the end where I'm going to do my my end cards, where it's you know the best four, and then here's my my next in the series. I started doing a scrolling at the bottom, saying follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and all that stuff. And yeah, you can do a scrolling on the bottom third with iMovie. There's several different things you can do. You can even do the Star Wars type of scroll on iMovie, right, as well. So,
where you tilt it going away or whatever.
Yeah.
Steven, have you done any on-screen text with your videos? Put text on the screen with Movie Maker, or can it do that?
Well, I usually do on using credits while using motioning the fading movements, and it initially faded out by itself, the credits.
Okay. Awesome. Joe, what about you? Got anything to add to Night Strike's struggle there?
Well, I actually do.
He unplugged his mic or something.
I did? Oh, son of a bitch.
You're on. You're good.
All right. Good. Sorry. Okay. Didn't mean to swear, by the way. I gotta be a gentleman. I actually use a lot of text in my videos. It all depends on what I'm trying to kind of convey, or especially if it's with the series I got going on now, where I'm directing someone to a different streaming site so they could get the product links, full tutorial, all that good stuff. I'll have a huge banner at the top or the bottom. It all depends on your style, but it works for me. With DaVinci Resolve, I can't do all that like cool kind of nuanced scrolly stuff. It's kind of straightforward. Here's the text. I can change the font to Comic Sand or Impact or Times New Roman. Times New Roman, I find, is like the key font. Mm-hmm. Everyone likes Times New Roman.
Right. Budget out there. He says he made his outro clip as its own video, and then produced it, and then he imports it in the library and add it to like the end of every video or whatever. And yeah, I mean, that goes back into the editing talk we had and about streamlining the process. Same way with me, my logo reveal, the intros to the podcast, the outros to the podcast, all that stuff are their own separate little video. And so you don't have to go in and compile each component of that every time that you make a video. You just drop that at the front or the end, or even if you have, because on the later videos, you may notice that I have bell notification animation that comes up. So same way with that, just drop it into the timeline somewhere and go. Now, Sarge out there is talking about, there's some talk about different editing software. Sarge out there is saying that he's former Power Director. Adobe's the only way to go. Obviously, Budget's doing Power Director. Armed Ape says using Sony Vegas. And I will say this. What you use is heavily dependent upon the equipment that you have. And I'll say that. I've got a super nice laptop right here. It's a gaming laptop. It's completely awesome. Does not work with Sony Vegas or Adobe Premiere. Neither one of those, as of 3 months ago, however long I've had, maybe I've had it longer than that, maybe 4 or 5 months ago. But, you know, as of the time that I got this laptop and, you know, got the software loaded and started playing with it, would not take advantage of the dedicated graphics card that is on this Asus laptop. So that's why I shifted to from PowerDirector to, because PowerDirector wouldn't work on it either, over to the MOV AVI. So, you know, you just keep that in mind. And most of the good thing about the editing software is that most every piece of editing software out there has some type of a trial. Even your more expensive ones like Sony Vegas and Adobe Premiere, they have some type of a trial. So get that trial, try them out on your equipment, make sure that they work before you go out and spend the money and all that stuff. So let's move to Joe, bring you in here and, give us something you struggle with. Let's pick on you a little bit.
Well, I struggle with, well, there's a lot of things I struggle with. Let's just be quite honest here. I think my thumbnails are probably the one spot that really I struggle with, just because, like, most of us are, when you're starting out, you want to make sure that people have mobile appeal. They have, when they're on their phone and they're scrolling through your suggested feeds, they look at, you know, your thumbnail, the picture that comes up on your video, for those who don't know what a thumbnail is, and it has to draw them to watch that video. Me, just because I'm not really tech savvy, I don't really know a lot of, like, Photoshop and stuff like that. That's the only thing I think it's really lacking in my videos. Like, I'm kind of starting to get a hang of editing, and creative-wise, my content, I have creative stuff for days to just kind of think, oh, we could do this video, we could do this, I could record on this. And another thing that I struggle with is just time and weather. Whether it's you have time to record the video, everyone's got a life, so you got to figure out, you know, balance time. Also, you're waiting on, say, parts to get delivered from FedEx that take obnoxiously long to get to your house, or the weather. Like right now, it's been like really humid out lately, and it's been oppressive. So I don't really feel like sweating like profusely in my videos through my shirt. So I'm fighting the weather, I'm fighting the rain, I'm fighting all that good stuff. So that stuff I can't really control, but, you know, I think a lot of people can struggle depending if they're trying to get to a outdoor range. Say if a majority of where you're trying to film is an outdoor range, especially where I am, that's where I struggle the most, is when it's weather and just time.
You know, and that's a great topic. I mean, that's, you know, that certainly is something that the last 2 days has affected me. I can certainly speak to the heat. For the most part, with the heat, I just sweat, and I'll make a joke, and I'll say, hey, you know, if you don't want to see a fat, you know, redneck Texan sweat, then go find another video, because it's going to happen. And in a couple of videos, you can actually see some sweat spots on my shirt. One of the ways I combat the heat is I've got trees around, so I do have shaded areas. And so what I'll try to do a lot of times is I'll try to film one scene, do like a few minutes tops, and then walk over in the shade and kind of fan myself, cool off a little bit, walk back. It takes longer to get the thing produced, to get everything filmed, but taking those breaks, you know, do help. Now with the rain, you can't do a whole lot. And then some people have work schedules that get in the way. So yeah, all of this, the scheduling and finding the time to do it is a huge issue. Rogue, I'm going to jump up to you, and with the issue of time management and all the different things that can keep you from creating, how do you deal with that struggle?
I wake up obnoxiously early in the morning. Time management is one thing I struggle with.
No, ain't happening early in the morning. No.
Mm-mm. It's just one of those things of, I have insomnia anyway, so I figure if I can't sleep, I'll just get up and just start producing content. But it's tough. I mean, you know, I balance a full-time job that I'm working anywhere from, you know, 50 or 60 hours a week, plus trying to put out, you know, content on my channel. That's the only time I have is early in the morning. Unless I do range footage, which obviously I can't do that early in the morning. I pick a weekend, but even when I do my range footage, I do it early in the morning because the range I'm at has no cover at all. You're out there and you're going to sweat. And, you know, as soon as that sun hits over the mountains, I just burst into a big sweat ball.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You instantly melt.
Yeah.
Budget out there, he's having the same issue. This is a big struggle for everybody. I don't think anybody's immune from this one. And he says, consistency, which is, that's what we're talking about, due to poor time management / not having time. And a lot of things can cause time management issues, and that's sort of what we're talking about. Nice strike as far as you and the struggle with, consistency, time management, hurdles you have to overcome to actually get out and film and do all of that. Your thoughts?
Like you, I also have a range that is outdoors, but the problem is I don't have any cover when I'm outdoors. So, you know, the humidity can down here can get pretty bad. And I guess my problem isn't being consistent. It's staying focused. I've always had a problem with staying focused. So, I don't know what to tell you on that one. It's either get it done or don't do it at all. Right.
Right.
So that's all I've got.
Well, good enough. Steven, we'll come over to you. And how do you find time to make videos?
Well, I usually wake up around 7 a.m. to do my morning live stream on YouTube. And after that, I start recording on making movies using cell phones or my laptop, like I usually do every day.
Okay. So, like Rogue, Steven there, he gets up early. So, Ghost, I know with you, you've got to deal with weather and job and everything else. So,
yeah, it's interesting when you work 7 days a week and it's usually 60, 70 hours a week, especially during the time of year where the weather's actually good here. So it's tough doing that. But, in all jest, you know, my biggest struggle is that I have very thin skin and I really struggle with negative comments on my videos. My ego. Yeah. My ego kind of tends to go with the flow of my comments. No, just kidding. For me, honestly, it's time. But I remember, and this is something for people maybe just be starting out. I'll tell you this. Don't get too eager to put out too much content too quickly, because I think we all probably went through this. There was a time that I know I went through it that I was trying to pump out so much content, trying to grow, that I almost got burned out. Of doing it. When I after about 6 months, I said, you know, I don't even know if I want to do this anymore. And I realized one or two things a week is great. You don't have to put something out every day. So I struggled early on trying to balance how much content to put out so that I don't get behind, but I also don't get burned out as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, I understand it. That's a healthy perspective. You know, you mentioned the comments, and it's funny. If nobody has seen it, Cully on the War was on with Joe Rogan again. Pretty good 3 hour or something podcast if you've got time.
Yeah, it was to great. To that one. Yeah, it was nice.
And that's one of the things that they talked about was dealing with the negativity online and a lot of the stuff that people get. So there was a lot of good aspects to that conversation for sure. So, let's jump over to Steven and with you making your content, what are some of the things that you struggle with or have a hard time with doing, Steven?
Well, usually when I start my evening live stream on StreamYard, inviting some guests, this is going to be difficulty for me. Mm-hmm. And when it's sunny out, I start my morning live stream and the evening live stream. In nighttime, of course. And right now, I'm about to write the list of characters to add on the credits of my movie making.
Okay.
You know, I got some of the characters that I've subscribed from any YouTube channel. And I was thinking one of these days in any Western movies, I should get you, Clover Tack, to be in any Western movies with me.
Well, we can arrange that.
And maybe I'll get Ghost Tack in there, too.
Let me know, man. I'm around.
And maybe the Gun Gat Galing New England.
Hell yeah, man. I'm down.
Yeah, someday I'll write each 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of you to be on my movie sometime.
So, you know, that's a good, you know, what it kind of what he's getting at there. I'm going to broaden it out with the issue he's got is that sort of is the video plan. And that sort of goes into kind of what we talked about a little bit with editing, but with the way I do it with before editing, I kind of have a broad idea of what I want to do. I want everything to be kind of in place. And it's like, I wanted to film. Actually, I had a window. Not a physical window, but not Vogue either, like Madonna. But I had a window of opportunity today I could have filmed, but there's a couple of things I need to buy in town to be able to film a certain scene that I wanted to film in that particular video. So it's one of the things that were, you know, I've got it in my head that I wanted to go a certain way. And I don't want to say scripted, but having that thought beforehand of exactly how you want that video to be, right? Or even that live stream, because Steven does live streams, Ghost does, Joe does down there, Night Strike does. But even with live streams and just how you, there's a flow to it, and you take your guests, you take people down a certain path, and you've got an end game in mind. So as far as, let's talk about that for a minute. I'll run that by the other guys. As far as when you've got a product or you've got an idea for a video, what is your process before you go and actually start production on that? Rogue, do you have one or you just jump in with both feet?
I tend to jump in with both feet. I mean, if it's a product video, I look at it and, you know, I kind of have a vision in my head of what's going to happen. But I'll just start filming and working through it. And through the magic of editing, I can make it look good. You know, I've had some comments on my videos, like, you know, especially the assembly videos are easy. I'm like, yeah, because I can edit out all my screw ups. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it looks good. So you have a good finished product. But yeah, I kind of jump in and just go at it and just figure everything else out in the editing process.
Well, that makes sense because you like to edit, right? So
yeah,
you're one of those editing snobs, unfortunately. Night Strike, what about you? I mean, when an idea comes forth for a video or I want to do this thing on the live stream or whatever, what is the process that goes through your mind in preparation for that event to actually get that done, the filming or the live stream or whatever it might be?
Well, if I'm doing produced content, you know, it's making sure I have all the materials. If I'm going to use any sort of materials, like, you know, targets, props, you know, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. you know. But live stream, it's just, you know, more or less my plan is, you know, I have a set of topics I have written down that I want to cover. And, you know, I also make sure that the attendees that join in my live streams also get a copy of that so that everybody knows what we're talking about. And we're on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Right. Ghost, what about you? Is there a method to the madness?
Yeah. If it's doing like a product review, then obviously I'd go to the range. If it's something for the range, I'd go to the range and I'll film a lot of my testing procedures, not only for the video, but for B-roll. But more importantly, I have to do all of the range work before I get in and talk about the product itself. So I'll do a lot of the B-roll and the range stuff, then get home and try to figure out, or if I'm at the range, I can do it then and talk about what the findings are. A lot of times it's, I have a visual in my mind of what I want it to look like, but then when you get out there and the product reacts differently than you think, then you just throw the script out of the air and say, well, the hell with it. Let's just go with it a little bit. As far as live streams, if it's a topic that I want to talk about, then obviously I'll have my own thoughts, but I'll also spend about 2 hours prior and really dive into show prep and kind of reading about stuff, especially if it's a timely thing, updated news or whatever. And obviously if I have a guest on, then I'm going to make sure that I have all the information that I can about that person to at least guide the conversation to where I don't look like an idiot, like I have someone on the show and don't even know who they are. So I do a lot of show prep for that about 2 hours before, at least, sometimes more, but about 2 hours prior. But as far as videos, I have an idea of what I want to go with, but a lot of times it changes midstream. So it'd be very fluid in my
True. This is very true. Yeah. If you're too rigid, the least little thing can throw you for a major loop. Nighthawk Medic out there on the Discord side, says definitely has the Nighthawk Medic process here. Says purchase the weapon, test week one, test week two, film intro, target inspection, 25 meter shoot, 25 meter walk up, table commentary, blank shoot, and the outro. So, yeah, he's definitely got his outline, as it were, set. Joe, what about you and your method walking up, leading up to the actual content?
Well, with my podcast, it all depends on if it's going to be just like I'm flying solo for the night. I got a guest, so I got to get all that stuff going. And then depending if I have a topic or we're just kind of going over stuff that's happened in the gun industry, I get all the articles all set, make sure they're in the live chat, on top of promoting a video that I usually have posted that earlier in the day in the live chat. So that's how the podcast goes. It's not a lot of preparation usually. Like right now I'm kind of home every day, so like I have a lot of time to prep for something while I'm doing other like editing. But when it comes to like product reviews or guns or like for instance this, I just filmed a top five video this week, like today. I thought of the idea yesterday. I had to get all my information on like specs of like top five guns that I was using and stuff like that. That took a little bit. So like in that instance, I had a little bit of preparation, but typically I'll ask the manufacturer or the company, like, okay, what is your spec list? Tell me that. So I'll get that before I even start filming. And as I'm like shooting something or using it, I'll kind of figure it out as I go and show, okay, does this have an issue? I'll just leave it on screen, and that's kind of how I like to do it with products and stuff like that. But not a lot of prep, a little bit of prep, but it's just enough to be dangerous, if you get what I'm saying.
Right. No, I got you. And you know, I'm a mixture of all of it. It kind of depends on, you know, like, you know, I mentioned the FUD Live channel. Let me grab the link for that, by the way, while I'm talking about that. But you know, in order to narrow the content down on that, to produce videos being under 5 minutes, it does take some planning, because I have to process in my mind and sometimes even on paper that, okay, what are the high points I want to hit these and get out. You know, I can't sit there and vamp and ramble on forever about, you know, a trigger and certain small features and things that if somebody opened the box or went to a gun counter in their, you know, their local gun shop and picked it up, they obviously would know that the grips were this way and the safety was this and the, you know,